Our third reading this morning is a reading from the Gospel according to Luke. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in 1 household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her father-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain. So it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but do not know how to interpret the present time. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
These readings are, well, first off, I just love the fact that we get to go through Numbers. We've been in Numbers for about a week and a half now. And it resonates with me so much because this is the story of in between the exodus from Israel, you know, let my people go, and the dramatic scene of crossing the Red Sea without getting their sandals wet and coming out on the other side. So you're there, but you're not to the promised land yet. I love that. Numbers is that liminal space, that in-between wilderness journey. In the passage we hear today, it sounds, it's kind of hard to grasp if you don't know the context, but what we see is people who have been journeying for not 40 years, not too long actually, but they come to, they're right on the edge of the promised land, and they're about to go, but they're a little worried, and so they send some scouts ahead, and they send, I think it's 12 scouts, 10 of them go and check it out and say, I don't know, it looks pretty dicey to me. And 2 come back and say, this is the promised land. We're good to go. And rather than trust God's promise of a land for their descendants, they go with the witness of the 10 who are worried about, what are they worried about? They're worried that God's not going to keep God's promise. They're worried that God will not deliver them from what enemies they see across the river. And that anxiety, that worry spreads throughout the camp. And it's this wrath. This is what kindles the wrath of God. And this is why they get smited, as you might have noticed in Numbers. They don't trust that God is going to deliver them. They don't trust that God is going to keep God's promise. And so this is the real reason that the Israelites and even Moses will wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They were close to a really quick trip from Egypt to the promised land, but God's saying, this whole generation of people doesn't trust me. And so I'm going to wait until a new generation has come up to replace them, and I'm going to bring that generation into the promised land. And Moses is part of that old generation that gets left behind. Ouch. Going into a new place is scary. Going into a new situation is scary. But most of all, trusting the almighty but invisible God of our fathers and mothers is scary. We are a people who likes backup plans, right? Well, let's stick with God, but, you know, let's make sure that we've got our backup plans just in case. Well, let's trust God on this, but have these other options just in case it doesn't work out. God doesn't like backup plans. These are sometimes referred to as idols. The things that we trust with God or instead of God are idols. And this idolatry is what spurs God's anger more than almost anything. So what does God do? What is God's desire for idolaters or our idols in general? Well, what we see, let's hold on to that. That's a little scary. Let's put that aside for a little bit. Let's look at our Matthew passage. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Dang, didn't we just talk about Jesus, the good shepherd, and this gentle pastor who wants to take care of us? You know, the world seems like it's already on fire. We need Jesus to come and comfort us and keep us safe. It's scary out there. What happened to that Jesus? Can we just kind of do a rerun of that Jesus instead of hearing about this Jesus who says, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled? Fire can be scary. Fire can seem like death. Fire can seem like destruction. Fire can seem like an end. It was a river, a body of water that seemed like the end for the Israelites about to enter the Promised Land. They didn't think that they saw the water as a stopping point, but we also can see fire as a stopping point. It consumes, it kills, it destroys. But it doesn't have to. Fire can burn up. But when we see it used in Scripture, what fire does is it purifies. It is a symbol of God's presence. In the Old Testament, we see fire, we see God as fire and sometimes a tower of smoke. Fire can mean death, but it can also mean life. Fire can purify. I think that that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's come to bring fire of purification. He has come. Remember, we had these idols left over. What has Jesus come to do with those things that claim our trust? Those things that we have put trust in for years, maybe decades. What is Jesus going to do with those things? He's going to burn them up. If we rely on anything except God, they have a target on them by Jesus. Jesus has come to purify our world. He has come to take away anything else that might tempt our trust. He wants everything to be on fire right now. And what that means is, well, that means it's going to be uncomfortable. That's what Jesus is telling us. He, you know, sometimes Jesus is here to be our comforter. One of the best preaching lines I know is Jesus has come to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, right? And so in this passage, what we see is Jesus has come to make folks uncomfortable. We've gotten about 1,000 metaphors, but let me give it to you this way. I once knew a person in the hospital who, actually, they weren't quite in the hospital yet. When they were a small child, they broke their leg, and they couldn't afford to go to the hospital soon enough. And so the leg didn't heal right, and the person went around limping their whole life. There's always a constant sort of numb pain in their leg, but they could get by. Eventually, the person had the opportunity to get their leg fixed, but it would require surgery. What that surgery meant was, in order to make the leg right, they would have to re-break it. It doesn't make sense at first, but sometimes in order to make something right, you have to break something that wasn't healed correctly in the first place. In order to make something well, we have to break what is unwell. To me, I see that is the kind of fire that Jesus is bringing. That is what Jesus is going to do to these relationships, to all these family situations here, the sons and fathers, mothers and mother-in-laws, and all this stuff. God has come to set those relationships right. But sometimes those are going to require some breaking before that they can get better. But this is what we must trust. That even if God is going to bring us to uncomfortable, even scary situations, there will be temptation to trust many other things, many other words, many other powers, many other institutions. If we put our trust in those things, though, we'll be wandering the desert for 40 years. But if we put our trust in God, if we don't put our trust in the hands of the hypocrites, as he says here, but we put our trust in God, then we'll be delivered to a new promised land better than anything we could have ever imagined. If we are willing to go into the purifying fire and be cleansed of those things that we falsely put our trust in, and let that fire burn away those idols, those temptations, until all we are left with is God, we will be ready for that promised land, that land of love, that land of peace, that land of justice. So be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good, and render to no one evil for evil. Because God is taking us through some scary places that we might come to that land of comfort and peace and love for everyone. Amen.